Ding, ding, ding.
Good evening, everybody.
I was making the tortellini for dinner tonight, and I was thinking about that, because I'm like, come on, will you boil?
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Committee of the Whole meeting of Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020, at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Lindblom.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Kowalski.
Here.
Whedon.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All council present, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Iaconis, and I will also serve John Montello. Oh, here we go.
Everybody move your phones away.
Yeah. Or, when I turned it on earlier, there was some static, so. But, any persons having business before council? Item number 3.
This is a special council?
No, the special council meeting is following the committee of the whole. Oh,
Tom, the week 176-12, Eddie Burnett Road. John, I mentioned I'd ask you about signage on Dunham Road Hill. Did you find anything, come up with any ideas or thoughts or anything you learned?
The engineer will speak to that.
The engineer will speak to that.
Okay, I'll answer. I'll answer why. We had a information fact-finding, me, Ray, Denny, and Joe got together and to talk about the repaving project, to answer some questions, and signage was one of those. And like Joe said, where we're at in the project is to get the money. That's number one. There's about 300 items. Signage, some of the other things, the striping, those are about item 200 and something, because you gotta look at those when the project's done. And he says he actually has, you know, code books and different things that will say, okay, this is what we need to do for that hill.
That's good.
So he's going to address that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good enough. And the other thing is two meetings ago, you mentioned at the end of the meeting that there was ordinances or legislation involved group home. You mentioned that at the end of the second meeting in February. I heard you mention that. You said you talked about that, and we haven't. You just mentioned that in a passing, and I was surprised that I didn't know anything about it.
No. Let me just kind of follow up with what we did. We brought, we had George Smeriton look at our existing, what we have in place for zoning.
For people that don't know George, please.
George Smeriton is a third party that people use. We use him in the community. He's considered one of the best.
Commercial building?
He's a zoning, he writes the zoning codes. He's actually can be a witness. We've had him here in a public meeting, a couple public meetings. And he's the one who looked at it when the group home thing started. So there's not much you can do, but he said when the new regulations came out last year, he said there's some things we should tweak. And we brought it to the committee and, you know, to council, and at that time it should go back to planning according to us. So we're going to take it back to planning. And then it will come back to council. I think council's pretty comfortable with it. We just need planning. I swore in our new planning member that you guys seen last week. Got him sworn in. So we're looking to have a meeting because we have two issues for planning. One is to address those. George will be at those meetings. And also, we're having a lot split up at the corner there by our corner by Smith and Obie there.
So there'll be a planning commission announcement on the board when that's going to meet.
Oh, yeah.
And then they will be discussing that stuff.
So that's two items, unless something else comes up. Right now, those are the two topics that I have to come.
So when we see that on the board, it might be a good idea for some people that want to know about it to show up.
Oh, yeah. Planning commission meetings are like zoning.
Yeah, that particular issue is...
Oh, yeah, well, no. But let me finish. Planning and zoning, just like zoning has a meeting, they do everything a council meeting does. They write up an agenda like this, okay? And it gets posted, because it's a, you know, it's a public meeting. It gets posted just the same way. So people have, you know, and it gets, you know, it's posted out here, it gets posted on the sign, it gets posted on our website. So people, yeah, we want people to come if they have an interest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. I'm just saying for people that want to know about that.
Yeah.
Going on.
The zoning is treated like a council meeting or a committee of the whole, or planning is treated the same way. It's posted and written agendas and everything the same way. It's been that way, I know, since I've been here.
That's what I think.
Thank you. Any other residents have any business before Council Diane? Oh.
Diane Canzoni, 18817 Alexander Road. I just had a simple question. A few months ago when we were talking about budgets, the rec department had asked about getting a few items for their department for the TG Young Park. I was just wondering if anything, now that the weather's getting better, did anything come of that budget?
The money is in there for the improvements. It was just a small amount that I believe.
It was like mulch and a slide.
Mm-hmm. So that money is in there, and then Carol will give the service department likely to coordinate with that for.
Because I had a suggestion. I didn't know like what a slide costs or what else they might need, but maybe there was a family in Walton Hills that was raised here, or their, you know, parents are gone, and maybe they would want to donate a slide in memory of their loved one. If something like that, we could put it in the owl or whatever. So I didn't know if we have, I don't know what all they needed, but.
It wasn't to replace equipment completely, because it is very expensive. It was mostly just, I think, repairing a crack and mulch and some other things.
I know I go to a lot of playgrounds with the grandkids and stuff, and there's so many neat things to play. And we don't have as many, but I didn't know what that list was. But I just thought a suggestion might be in memory of it, or anybody to donate and have, you know, something to do with it.
No,
I mean, if we had like 300 families donating $20 each, I mean, that's $6,000. That would pay for a lot of mulch and swings or whatever, you know, even something simple like that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mrs. Canzoni, I've been emailing some people, and we had met with Mr. Joyce as his aide at one point, and I emailed him because I had mentioned some of these things that we were looking for, and as far as getting grants and things like that, if he could put us in contact with anybody. A few emails went back and forth between various people, and Mr. Sheehy, our from CD Engineering, was copied on a couple of those, and he wrote us back and said that that type of stuff at TG Young Park is in his wheelhouse to go after too. So he would, and I have to get with the mayor yet on possibly setting up a date with Mr. Sheehy. He invited us to his office to sit down and come up with a concerted plan to go for grants for things like upgrading TGM Park, you know, trails or exercise equipment, things like that, whatever it may be. So that's in the works.
I just wondered, the weather getting nice, and yeah. I didn't know if it was just on the back burner or if there was something working on it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ray Brenner, 7271 Conley Boulevard. Maybe a question, John, you could answer possibly regarding what Tom mentioned about the group homes and these homes they're building. If I catch it right, if it's a non-for-profit or if it's a corporation or whatever, is there a certain tax base attached to one or the other? Anybody willing to answer that?
Yeah, nonprofits don't pay property tax.
Okay. Is there anything that you could do ordinance-wise to make sure we get as much money from these places somehow, or verbiage that they can only be corporate so we can get more?
From what we understand, just like what Katie said, they're nonprofits. The ones we have here are nonprofits. And so that's, they're tax exempt. That's why, you know, it's not like, it's an economic tool to want them to move in your area. You know, certainly it's...
Well, you'd like some funds.
No, exactly. Point, but we, yeah, they, you know, it's just like, they're a residential facility. Right, they're not even right. considered a commercial facility. When they have five or less occupants, they're considered a residential facility. That's where the whole beef is. That's the whole meat of it. The government rules them a residential facility. They rule no different than any everybody's house that's in this room. They're treated the same exact way. Ordinance-wise, zoning, everything, inspections, it's exactly the same way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just wondered, you know, the village, I mean, naturally, we want to bring in money.
Oh, definitely.
And if there's a way that these people can skirt that, I guess human nature would do that. I mean, I probably would too. But again, we need the money.
Right. They fall under the non. Now, but those are good questions. And I know when we set up the charge of the zoning, we went through that thoroughly. I don't know if you were here, Ray.
I listened, yes.
Yeah, George was here. We had him at, I think, two or three meetings. We also had him at, I had him morning meeting with the mayor. I had him there. And we'll do that again, you know, because planning's going to want to get up to speed. One of the members of planning, Janice St. John, who's an attorney for the county of the city, is very familiar. I mean, we were talking the other day. She's also our magistrate for camera tickets and knows a lot about the law and this topic. And she was talking about a situation in Independence. Independence just kind of going through some things we're going through right now with them coming up. And theirs was the same way labeled as a residential facility. It's going to have five or less occupants.
Now, if say something were to change in the zoning laws, is all the municipalities notified that these changes are being made, and whether they're good or bad? I mean, do they reach out and say, hey, this new zoning law now regarding these facilities, this is a change in them? Who sees that, or is it, do you have to search for stuff like that?
No, I can answer that. We have zoning inspectors.
Right.
They do continuing education. So it kind of falls under their thing, no different than engineers and any of our inspectors. That falls under them. You know, we're paying them to be up on that. And also we do, I think it's what, every two or three years we have George come in and look at and make changes if so needed, not just for that, but other things, right?
You know,
because
sure
it's a changing thing, so it is about keeping your ear to the thing.
Yeah. It's worth, I mean, if they make the change and it's to our benefit somehow down the road, it's well worth us to look at, you know. And also past, if there's anything on our books that was in 1956, 57, that doesn't have any kind of, you know, anything to do with current dates of what we do. I mean, to look through the past stuff and see if we can just take some of that out of there.
Yeah, we just had ours updated two or three years ago. We just had it up. George was, maybe it was longer, but George has been here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are good.
We've been fortunate. In fact, we'll probably still be, even though we kind of got delayed because we put it back into planning and lost a member and stuff, according to the other mayors and stuff, they're not even as far as we are with adopting the new things. We'll probably still be maybe the first community or one of the first communities to change some of their zoning according to the new regulations. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
I don't know how the group home is set up, but if there's somebody that's coming in there, maybe that stays there all the time, like a leader within the house, or somebody coming in and doing something, there's withholding that they should, they could be nonprofit, but the person's coming in and, you know, working in there. Maybe Angela can find out what the home's here, or somebody's there, you know, every day. It's not going to be a ton of money, but it's something that the person is responsible to the community.
Well, what they do is they fill out a form, which I have here, this is one of them. And what they have to fill out and say how many occupants are in there, and what the care is, but who is there? Okay, like one person, two people, so we do know that, and that we can get in there, we can tax them. But as far as like the business, it's different. So, but yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
My experience with group homes, anytime necessary to go to one for an emergency, there's usually at least one, most of the time two to three, people that are there taking care of the residents, helping them with their daily lives, activities, you know, getting them to shopping or whatever, things like that. So there usually are, it's usually a supervised home. It's not just a bunch of people living there by themselves 24/7. And most of the time, there is somebody there 24 hours a day. They obviously in shifts, you know, they're not living there, but there's almost always somebody at those homes.
And the other thing is, too, you have the state, if there isn't any type of incident, they have to report it and file it, because they have to keep track of that, according to Rob, to maintain their license, because they are licensed by the state of Ohio. That's who licenses them. That's where they get their funding, part of their funding. You know, they get funding from Medicaid and Medicare and the state. There's a lot of avenues, there's like a lot of medical facilities.
Would an incident be an ambulance coming?
I'm not sure about that, Tom. I don't know if that's a good question, but I think it's more of a problem there.
I'll ask the planning commission.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay,
Mayor?
Yes.
So do we get reports on independent contractors that come in there to work, and would we get paid from their wages that they pay to us?
That's the same as a house, then. They're treated as a residential facility. They have to pull a permit just like you or me. Same thing. The only time it changes, if they go above that five, then they have to add sprinklers. There's like Jordan, it becomes a commercial property, and they got to do a whole different thing. It's based on that.
The people that come in there to work, though, they have to pay taxes to us, so I want to pay taxes.
Yeah, it changed a couple of years ago, so they only have to pay taxes if they're going to be working in the community. We went 21 days, where it used to be a lot less. So if a contractor is working here for, say, 2 weeks on a project, they technically have to pay us. It is cumulative. If they were to be working on multiple projects throughout the year, then yes, technically they should be paying us payroll tax. And that's why we rely on people to register and to pull permits so that we know who's working, so that we can follow up and collect.
Rob, Ray talked about, you know, zoning, you know, that falls under him and Jeff Burgess with the zoning, and he's done a great job, because it's a big learning curve for him with those, and he's made a good connection down to the state there, who has helped with that and really understanding the license part of it and stuff. So, they're going to be in line. We're going to hold them to what the law says, and that's all we can do. So, any other residents have any other questions, comments? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Elon Verzik, 14036 Swan Lake in North Royalton. I want to share some information with everyone tonight about Citizens League. We're having a brainstorming session next week on Wednesday, on the 11th. We're going to be across the courtyard here. Through the magic of Facebook, I've already discovered there's a new person over in Mr. Weed's neck of the woods that has expressed interest, and you know, reached out to have them, you know, come and meet some of their neighbors and just to become part of the community. So that's this week. And then on the 25th of April, which is a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the event center in the big rooms, we're going to have Citizens League is going to host a Trash and Treasure and More event. We've got some interest already. We'd love to see more people come to vend their white elephants and their garage sale items and their antiques if they wish. But we'd also like to just have people come and shop and peruse the gallery of lighting. So thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other business before council? Residents or any comments? Council comments? Anybody want me to comment on anything? Okay. Item 5, discussion on resolution 2020-1. The internet auction. We have it on there for second reading. I mean, it's already been second reading. We've needed the passes. But let me, this, since we're going through these, I know as we talked, I talked to everybody about having an executive session to discuss the recreation positions. If we were to, if everybody was comfortable and wanted to pass, I know we want to get it done in Rome. We'd like to get that done in Rome. We're going to pass it, the sooner the better, so we can start getting some joke and start moving forward. I know that we've been awarded, and the county did pass their piece, that if we could have a special council meeting next Tuesday, pass the legislation, and then it would free up the following Tuesday, which is St. Patty's Day and also our primary election in this area. Because as of right now, I don't have, unless council has something they think would be on the agenda. So I just kind of wanted to keep that, you guys, as we go through this, how you feel about that. And we still have time, I mean, that we people want to make plans. So.
Mr. Mayor, I'm all for it.
Okay. Well, we don't have to, you know, just as we go through it. I'll ask you before we adjourn the COW meeting. If everybody feels comfortable with passing all the legislation.
Yeah, I would be open to that. I think we should announce something because we've got a lot of people here that would want to know.
Well, we're going to announce it before we adjourn the COW meeting. Okay. If everybody's good. You're not Irish, are you, Ben?
I'm sorry?
You're not Irish, are you?
A little bit.
I know you. That's why I'm teasing. You like to have that day. I know it's not a bad day. To, plus, you got the election. So.
I'm too old for that now.
Yeah, there you go.
The shenanigans.
Any discussion on the internet auction? Or is everybody pretty comfortable with the language and everything moving that forward?
Mr. Mayor,
yes, go ahead.
Just to recap. We did just include a sentence stating that it's going to be advertised as per the Ohio Revised Code along on our website and stuff. So when we do have something for internet auction, just for practicality purposes, how is this going to go? We're going to advertise it in a plain dealer for one time, or is that what we're planning on doing?
We're going to do whatever's cheapest with the code.
Mr. Mayor?
So, the value of the goods, too.
Right. It's actually written in that it's just, and the like, after advertisement in a local newspaper as required by said section of the Ohio Revised Code. That's in Section 2. So it doesn't specifically say that it has to be in the plain dealer or anything like that. So. We obviously have other options available, like Nordonia News and stuff.
We could do it in the Owl.
Yeah, that's
what I thought.
That's what we should do. Yeah.
Well, that's good to do it because it's not wrong with our residents seeing that. And,
right.
You know, so that's a good thing. Okay, very good.
And if, there were two, we've got public postings, right, where we publicly post things, so.
When did we first introduce this? What year, how many years have we had it in?
Quite a few years.
It's been a long time.
Like 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's nothing new, we've been doing this, this piece of legislation for 10 years, so. Okay, anybody, anything else with that, or? How about the ordinance, the next one, ordinance 2020-1, use of mobile telephone while driving?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have been on a year-long project of trying to clean out my house, but that aside, I happened to come across a section of the Plain Dealer, I don't know why I had, from March 21st of 2002.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and actually it was folded too. I don't know if I was specifically holding this to read it, but it says Royalton defining other distractions for drivers. So North Royalton in March of 2002 was looking to say that their proposed amendment would allow officers to give citation to North Royalton drivers who are observably distracted while applying cosmetics, drinking, eating, grooming, having physical contact with another person or animal, using electronics, putting on or removing clothing, reading, sleeping, smoking, or using a mobile or cell telephone, citizens band radio, or walkie-talkie. So I just kind of feel like we're a little behind, maybe, but I don't know what went through with that.
We just don't have it as a primary.
But yeah, that was going as a primary offense, you know, back then. But I just found that humorous that I came across that today.
Yeah.
Including the changing of clothes.
There you go. What was the headline above that?
It says Royalton defining other distractions.
No, I mean the main headline.
Oh, well, it was the Metro section. So, yeah.
Drunk driving. It won't change.
Drunk driving limit.
What else? What's the next one?
Drew Carey's mother died that week.
Oh, yeah, because she was in Cleveland.
Yep.
He went to the wrong place, told her she was in Old Brooklyn.
Yep.
I'm sure he doesn't live in Cleveland now. Okay, any discussion on that? Are we good?
Yep.
With passing that too, and move it on with that one. Okay, let's do that then too. Okay. All right, item number 7, discussion on Dunham Road Rehabilitation Project. Kind of like we do have Joe Gelati here, our engineer from Chagrin Valley Engineering, to talk about it. But just, I don't know, if Denny and Ray, as members of the infrastructure, want to talk. I think we had a short, you know, that fact-finding meeting was good for us. We spent about 2 hours, and I think a lot of good stuff came out that we can share with everybody, and Joe enlightened us quite a bit on a lot of different things. So, Denny, do you want to go, or Ray, do you want to go, or you want me just to talk about, or anybody have any concerns with the thing that Joe can maybe answer, or the members of the committee to answer?
Go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor, and members of the council, president. We did have a very productive meeting with Joe Gelati, infrastructure chairman, Linville, myself, and mayor, and we talked about quite a few things regarding items that came up in discussion here at previous committee of the whole meeting. We talked about both from the basic infrastructure side as well as the safety, some of the safety concerns. And one of the things that did come up was the fact that the engineers will handle all of the signage pieces, that whatever is required by state, they will handle that. We talked about some other enhancements, potential. I don't want to take all of everything from Joe, but we talked about some other potential safety enhancements in lieu of curbing. And Joe, I really would like for you to share with our residents your position on the curbing piece regarding the safety part, not so much the maintenance piece. We know that's another issue. And I left the meeting feeling pretty confident that this project is a good project. I already knew it was a good project, but with our engineer, I don't want to necessarily say owning it, but putting his expertise and stamp on it, something that we can stand behind, I think it would be a good project for us to move forward. So I don't have anything else to say other than that. Well, I still would like to hear from Joe to explain to the council and community a little bit more in detail.
I do want to make one comment because I think it's really important. And it's just a common sense one. I think we missed through a lot of this conversation, and it was one of the first things. You look at Dunham Road right now, okay? We all know what Dunham Road's like right now, correct? Okay? We do that project with curbs or without curbs. Is it safer with curbs or without curbs, safer than it is today? Of course it is. Us repaving that project with curbs or without curbs, it's safer than it is today. We're improving that road any way you look at it. That road's terrible. That road's, the road's in bad shape. Whether you put the curbs in or think, are we improving that road, the safety of that road? And the answer is yes. That's simple. Just repaving that road is making that road safer. No doubt about it. Ben wouldn't know, but because he don't drive a bike down that road. But so that I just thought, I said when Joe brought that up, we kind of, as a committee, with that committee, as a group, we brought that up, and I thought that's a great way of looking at it, because you have something now that if we don't do anything, it's not in that great shape. It's in bad shape.
Yeah,
doing something. And I know some people, and this is an important comment, there's a lot of always with roads, and we understand it at this body. Why are we paving that and not the side streets? We just can't get funding. You don't get funding for the secondary roads. You get funding for these roads. This road is $3 million, but $2 million of it is Walton Hills' responsibility, and we're getting $1.2 million of it, a little more, free grant. Okay, that we don't have to pay back. So we have to fund $705,000. So we got a $2 million project that we have an opportunity to pay $705,000 on.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think it's, and I think the body understands it. Because, and if we don't accept it, we know we're going to have to pave it sooner or later. But we might end up paving it out of our funds of $2 million,
yeah,
out of our general fund. So this is a good opportunity to improve that road.
Mayor, too, that we're gonna, that road's going to be widened from 28, I think, to 32 feet. That's what the final thought was. There's plenty of room on both sides of that road, so you can be forgiven for some actions that might occur. I would say you would have time to react, in other words. So I feel good about this project, and I will support it, Mayor.
Why don't we have Joe, I think, like Grace said, have Joe, and talk about what we, because one of the big concerns for all of us, not just the residents, it was for all of us here, was the safety and talking about the curbs. And, you had some ideas there. You kind of gave us a rough idea what it would cost if there was curbing. And also, you focused on some things that we didn't even think about at any of these meetings until you brought it up. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We can talk about safety. To your point, Mayor, a moment ago, Dunham Road exists in its current condition.
You want to get the mic up a little bit? So there we go. Thanks, Joe.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little louder. Yep.
Dunham Road exists in its current condition. We'll say it has a level. This is the level of safety for motorists and for bicyclists. If we widen the road to 32 feet, we pave it, it'll be smooth, and there will be a straight dedicated lane for bicyclists.
Yep.
Well, now it's a much safer road for everyone, motorists and bicyclists alike. The idea of installing a curb in between the vehicle lane and the bike lane has been tossed around. I'm not sure that it's a great idea. If anything, it might actually cause an additional hazard on the road, a tripping hazard, another hazard that a car or a bicyclist could hit, especially on a cold, dark, snowy night. Not to mention the maintenance issue.
That's the part. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, if you build such an intermediate curb, I don't want to say intermediate, but a curb in the middle of the paved asphalt, I don't know how service plows the snow in the bike lane, or how they salt that lane, or how they maintain it at all. So there's another possible unforeseen circumstance that we don't want to run into. Not to mention the cost, but quite honestly, the cost isn't really the driving factor in the decision. It's really safety. So.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
Joe, I understand. I was just speaking in passing to another city's street engineer, and they said that those bike lanes by the village have to be maintained. They have to be cleared of snow. They have to be cleared of leaves, and that it's state law that has to be done. So, to me, that's it's just putting another hamper. I mean, I can't see our service guys, walking up and down the street with a side, with a shovel and stuff there. I don't know how that would be possible. But according to them, it's state law that those lanes have to remain clear and free at all times.
It might be, and if that's the case, even more reason.
Joe, what is the cost if you put those curbs in?
It's six figures, I'm sure. To put a curb on both sides.
That's what I thought.
Easily six. So.
Thank you. I was just
you
wondering.
You say about cost about $150,000, just $500,000.
There you go.
Yeah, the city engineer that I was talking to about it knows the area, and he said you're probably looking at $150,000 to $200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, to put them in on both sides.
And to answer Tom's question earlier, as you did, the state provides guidelines or recommendations on signage, which there's no reason for us not to follow so long as it's reasonable. So there will be signage and striping and all that stuff to complete the road, make it safe, so everyone knows how to drive.
I know also we talked about probably focusing on putting cat's eyes like we have in a lot of our areas that we have repaved, like on the hills. They're even going up the hill by the golf course there. We put the cat's eyes in, which gives some more visibility and stuff. Like Joe said, that's another inexpensive way to improve the safety along Dunham Road, which, yeah, Denny, I know we were involved in pushing those. That and let's see what some of the other things that we talked about. Also the project itself, that there was some concern about. So you have the bike path, and that it drops off in a lot of areas, or the safety of that. And those are things we can look to put a guardrail if needed or something in those areas after it's done. That's something we can do, but that's not going to change how the project is, because that would be at the on the sides, So, anybody think of anything else, or are you guys comfortable with going?
Yeah, I have one other comment. This is for Joe, and I intended to send you a picture of something to consider when we talk about the striping of one straight line versus 2 foot wide. Double line with striping, so to speak. North Park Drive in Cleveland is where I saw it. It's a 5 foot wide bike lane, but closer to the traffic, vehicular traffic, there's actually a double white line with like striping across. So it's really clear, don't just cross this one line. If you're going to cross two lines, you to hit, to potentially hit someone that's on a bike. And I, when I saw that, I said, that's a really, really good design. And I have to go that way tomorrow. I'll get that to you.
Yeah, please do. Could be a good idea. It's a
really good idea. And then the last thing I want to say, Mayor, is as it relates to the widening and the paving of the road, if anyone wants to really see how that road travels now, not for a car, but for a cyclist, Mr. Benjamin London took a ride down that hill over the weekend. And he shared his journey on the Walton Hills roundtable, one of the community pages. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd really like if you could share that with all the council that we can really see. It really shows you what it's like for a bike to go down that hill in its current condition with the potholes and things in the road. He's a skilled rider, he came down. I felt good about him riding down that hill. But it shows just why that project really needs to get done. It's a really good
ride your car, you get the same thing. Not the same. Right? Not quite the same.
No, I did see, Mr. Mayor, that video, and it was like watching from the front car of a roller coaster. Yeah, right. You actually feel your stomach going, oh, my God, the car just went around him. So you're a very brave man, much braver than I.
Come on up here.
Can I?
No, you can't. No.
No.
Karen Remy, 17595. Okay, our road, our hill, can we make them walk their bike up and down?
What, are we going to put a shack up there and have somebody?
Hey, tell more them money for tickets or something. Then they won't come back. I mean, I saw that video.
I don't think we can do that.
You don't
sure.
think we can?
We're
okay.
We're not going to do that.
You know, like it says, walk. You know,
if there was some research that said there were people were doing it, that we have to do that if Joe comes back and says the incline on that is, and we need a sign that says walk your bike, then we'll do it. But we're not going on the side of
okay,
the
that's a thought then. Okay.
But he probably could answer that right now that it ain't going to happen. So.
Why, answer the right?
I don't know, because I think for all these years, they've been riding down it now.
Yes,
got an
they
incline
have.
Sign on it and everything. And the county is the one pushing the bike path and giving us funding for it, and then we're going to tell them to walk their bike down the hill.
But, you know, I hate to see somebody. What happens when they intersect with Tinker's Creek Road? Because that's ultimately where this path is going. Okay? Will they be crossing the road to do that? Anybody know?
They go down the west side, they can go right in.
If you're going, I guess that would be southbound on down the road, you know, once you get towards the bottom of the hill, you just make that right turn on Tinker Street.
And I'm coming down too, you know, so is there going to be like some kind of crosswalk or anything?
No.
If they come down on the opposite side.
They're supposed to ride out the traffic.
Yes.
That's
going to
be a given. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of them, you know, coming over.
Well, cyclists are required also to signal, like they're going to be turning, and you know, it's a share of the road kind of situation.
Yeah.
So we can ticket them if they're
there. You go.
Pushing their hair or something.
Getting dressed.
Okay. All right. That was just a thought about walking.
No, I know.
I just really think that, you know, we're looking for trouble, but we don't have a choice. So, and we're thinking of safety and something that didn't happen yet. So, okay, thanks.
You know, the big question is, do you think we're going to actually get more people with that bike lane than we do now on that hill? That was quite, I think it's going to be the same.
I think we have enough bike paths.
But my point is, I think we get the traffic down that hill right now, riding in a lane that you have to ride in your car, okay, which is unsafe for both parties. I certainly don't want to hit anybody, and they don't want me to hit them, and they don't want. So we got a situation there. You have it now anyways, if whether we put a bike lane or not. People ride, bikes go up on that. I see it on Sunday in the summertime. Every time I go to St. Martin's, they're there. Okay, you see them, they got the tags. It's serious. Bikers, they got their outfit on with the tags. They might even be doing a route at that time or practicing what they're doing. So I think we're going to improve it. We're going to at least make it safer for those people and maybe some other people that are going to enjoy the park. And that's what the county's pushing for, too. They want them to come from the suburbs down into the Cuyahoga Valley. Or maybe park their car up there and say, hey, I'm gonna take the... They say this hill's a challenge.
Oh.
So who knows?
And another thing.
Okay. So I'm going to look at it's going to be a positive thing. I think it's going to be a good thing. It's good for the village.
Okay, the speed camera that has the back. Who pays for that? Do we pay for the renovation of that? Or
no,
it's broken,
that's part of their maintenance. They're calibrating. By law, they have to calibrate. So they're calibrating. When they're done with that one, they do the other one. They've been calibrating them like that since they've been up.
All
right, yeah, no problem. Thank you, Karen.
One more.
Anybody?
Tom, we can 176 there. So signage would be. Would it be bike lane driven or would it be 9.5 degree pitch driven? Because we talked about that. You were here at the last meeting, Joe, and we talked about that last meeting. What's your thoughts on? Is it more signage? But I mean, you're going to find out. I know John says you're into that now. So what? As you find out,
I would say it would be driven by the entire project.
Yeah.
Whether it's vehicles, bicycles, topography, whatever.
Yeah.
It would be driven by the whole project as to what signs would be recommended.
As I mentioned at the last meeting in front of the OWL last month, we got a no-pick grant for LED lighting. So $5,562, something like that. So there could be an LED lighting. Just to throw this at you, because you weren't at the last meeting, that there could be an LED flashing light at the top and the bottom. And then, like Karen says, you got the intersection again. I mean, it's the best. But thoughts of... and pass that maybe get to Jennifer. Thoughts of bike signs and then danger signs, because Brian mentioned that he and Gloria both thought it was dangerous. So in the signage, keep that in the back of your mind. People have concerns about bike signs and signage going tilt.
Here's the thing too for us all to keep in mind. I'm fine.
No, you got to come up. I have Karen come up.
Here's the thing, too, for all of you to keep in mind. The signage is something that can be adjusted as we go. It can be adjusted after the project is completed. A lot of times on a job like this, you've designed the signage a certain way, but people don't read it quite the way you think they were going to, and so the community or the service department makes a change and take a sign down, they put a different one up in a different location. So we can adjust as we go or after the fact, so we don't have to get too caught up in finalizing what signs are going to be there at this moment.
Go ahead.
Just a, Joe, just about the
you know,
getting the legislation passed, the sooner we get the bid package out, the contractors are already bidding on projects, and it would be more financially sound to get the bid package out sooner, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. The sooner the better for the village on many fronts, schedule, pricing, etc.
Any other concerns? Everybody feel comfortable for having this for our if everybody's comfortable with this one, then we would have the special meeting tied with the COW meeting. I mean, actually, with the COW, we can just have a special council meeting or have the COW meeting if there are still questions at that time. Otherwise, at this time, these are the only items we have for next week. I'll probably do it just in case something, buy up COW just in case something comes up. I'll always be sure. If there's any more discussion on this, that'd be good. But I'll schedule a special council meeting with these items for passage if everybody's comfortable with that.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what we'll do. And then what we'll do at that meeting, we'll cancel the council meeting. Then we'll cancel the council meeting. The last one.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just one last thing on the Dunham Road project. As you said overall that this is going to be making it safer. And I was just sitting here thinking about when we deliver the owl. And we're not doing it anywhere where there are bike lanes currently, but pulled over to the side of the road, hazards flashing as much as possible, going in the least obtrusive times of day, you know, to do it. Cars are staying right in that lane, man. They are right on top of us. You don't know how much the owl deliverers would appreciate an extra 2 foot of road on each side. You know, it really can be, and there's plenty of times, especially doing Alexander, I take responsibility for what I consider the most dangerous section between here and Dunham because of the hills. You know, and I'm always very conscientious. I don't want to be in somebody's way where they can't see a car coming up the hill towards us, you know, and cause anything. So I really think that those couple of extra feet with the bike lane is just overall going to make a huge safety improvement. Our delivery will appreciate it.
Benjamin London, 1683 South Meadow Park. I just want to say that I support this project as it is, and inherently in Walton Hills, you're always going to find a hill on your bike. You can't avoid them. It's just the way it is. And I don't really feel unsafe riding in the roads. It's just, we always ride in the roads. We always share the road. I deliver my owl on my bike, no different. I have lights, you know. Haven't really ever been in a situation where that I had an instance where a car could have possibly hit me. I've been delivering on my bike for 6 months now, so.
Appreciate that, thank you. Ben, one question, Ben, would you say, so you're a regular, you're considered an avid cyclist, or?
Well, I'm not as experienced as Ray, but yeah, I'm pretty ambitious, I guess.
Okay. Appreciate that.
He's quite skilled, according to that video.
I'd have been screaming.
Oh my God, I would have been too. No. Before I actually hit the hill, I'd have been like, that's it.
I don't know. So we're good with the legislation. Well, we got our meetings. Other business? Brian, did you want to mention anything with the directory or? I wrote that down. I know we kind of talked yesterday.
We talked with Mary, the lady in office, and we will all be getting proofs via PDF, and she can print it up for you if you'd like it, just so we can all lay eyes on it. Look it over. It looks very good. Councilwoman Allen was in there yesterday and looked at it. We changed a couple minor things. Previously, we had we're going to keep the council people's name, of course, the mayor's name. All of the department heads were not going to keep names. It's just going to be a title and the phone number. And that way, if somebody resigns, quits, whatever, it's not old information right away. We have, everybody knows it's no secret, Carol Stanisek, she's going to be retiring. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's going to be taking that position. So we thought that was a better choice to do that way. But other than that, it will go out, fingers crossed, at the next town.
It's going along well.
Yep.
For government work.
We just need to start now on the next one, right?
Okay. I know the last COW meeting, I think the one before, we did talk about having something if people want to meet up here. We've talked about it in the past, but we didn't close the loop. So I know I'll let Ray talk about it. Me, him, and the chief talk a little bit. Go ahead, Ray.
Mayor Fogart, members of council. We had a good conversation with our chief, and chief got right on the project as it relates to a meetup spot up in the upper parking lot with surveillance, perhaps for individuals who may have sold an item on the internet, eBay, or other platforms, and want to have a good safe spot to make that exchange. So chief is moving right ahead. He has received a quote from Great Lakes Telecom and Electric, LLC, vendor that does some other maintenance for cameras and whatnot around the village. And this is a quote for two cameras, cabling, boxes, other hardware, support, supplies, labor to mount them, and some examples of signage that will have the village name and whatnot, for a total of $3,410. And mayor, of course, the mayor has authorization to spend up to $5,000, but I just like to say if there is, the funds are available, and although it wasn't something that was allocated last year, the funds are available, perhaps in one of the police accounts or safety funds or something like that, I think we can move forward and get it done.
Right. And with that quote, the gentleman was here yesterday. He's going to maintain their cameras. He was putting that together. And at that time, he found we were just going to add one, but there's another camera that's up on the roof that isn't working, and it needs to be because it does focus on the parking lot. It's the middle of our parking lot. And that's not only important just for our residents' safety here, but it's very important on the Thursdays on the court case there. I'm sure some of you have been here. That parking lot's very busy. Not only is there activity in here, our police chief, they keep a good eye on the cameras and dispatch along with a police officer. Because in the parking lot, you'd be surprised the activity that goes on in that parking lot. Just people out there sometimes, they might not be so happy with themselves or maybe with their attorney they brought. And so it's good to have a camera out, on that. The one camera wasn't working. He looked at it, and it was cheaper to replace it than to send it out and get it repaired. That was one of the main things. So he added it to that quote, too. So some good came out of just getting the quote for that. Because it's been working intermittently, and Chief wanted to look at that too. So if everybody's okay with that, we'll move forward with that. We'll close the loop on that. He's looking at the signs, like Ray said. Gave everybody. I think everybody got that in there, the quote in their thing. And so we'll move forward with that. Are everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Mary Jane, you guys good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all I have for
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
I have something here for recreation.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Nowicki, a couple of weeks ago, you asked about services for residents. I checked with five communities: Bedford, Oakwood, Valley View, Maple Heights, and Garfield Heights. In Bedford, a senior is 55. Different communities have different ages for what a senior is. They have a senior van, which does a two round trip a week for $8 for visits to the doctor for residents. They have a food bank, and they have safety inspection for grab bars and things within the home. The advice to them for checking with things around the house that needed gutters, cleaned or anything like that, they advised to check with Cuyahoga County. they handle all those things. And this is through the five county, five communities that I've talked with, it's through the county. If you want something done, it's through the county. There's different programs that are there. Oakwood, they have their senior program, the lunches, but that's about all that they do for their seniors. And they suggested when you call there, is there anybody that could help with gutters or lawn work or something in the house? They suggest that you look into Liberty News, which they advertise. And I found three different individuals that do handiwork for electrician, plumbing, and just all around the house and yard work. Valley View, they have free snow plowing. They have a lawn cutting limit of 1 acre for $100. And they have a tree cutting of limbs and trees. And you hire a reputable contractor, and they will reimburse the individual $500 for the tree. Walton Hills, I think we do everything everybody else does. And Carol has a, down in her office, she has a bookcase, and there are brochures for every county, for age, health, whatever. You can pick up a brochure there for the things that you need. The biggest asset we have is Kathleen Kukusta. I don't know if anybody had a chance to use this lady, but any question you have about pertaining to a senior or about health, financial, their parents, where they live, group homes, anything you want to know, Kathleen is the answer to that. You just telephone Carol and tell her what your problem is, and she will put you in touch with Kathy, and she will have that taken care of. The village directory, as Brian has mentioned, page one of our directory has local, county, and U.S. government. Every agency there is, whatever you want, veterans, health, financial, they're there. The phone numbers are there. Walton Hills, if you need work done, you call and you'll talk to Lisa, and she will give you the name of a reputable contractor that has licensed and insured working here in the village. I also want to say that make sure when you're hiring a handyman, does he have insurance? Is he bonded? Because if he falls off that ladder or he trips over something in your yard, he's going to sue. So, I would go with the reputable. Don't, if somebody wants to offer something, be very careful with that. I think maybe we can put some articles in the journal pertaining getting from Kathy. She has listed one here, rules for Medicare plans. She does put different things. We can continue to have her write some articles for us, even have a meeting. So seniors could come in and ask questions about certain areas that they're concerned with. More phone calls that they can use for phone numbers they can use. One of the things I think is very important, you hear it on the news, census. The census is coming. Any day now you will receive the paper, the census. And please, I encourage you to fill it out. This is what will determine $67 billion that the county will disperse. This can help building senior centers and building buildings, and even talking about parks and equipment like that. We can use it. Carol gave me information today. There's 13 things on here that we do in our recreation and community life. Van transportation to doctors, hairdressers, shopping, and the bank. Not all communities will take them to get their hair done or shopping and that. And our people stay with them. That's one of the things. We have the nicest staff that helps the people. I see all the people nodding their head in here, but you do. The senior lunch, trips, welfare check-ins, Kathleen Kukusta, the veteran service information, elder law information, physical therapy information. We have Meals on Wheels, which I'm on the board of Meals on Wheels for the county. In-home health care, hospice information, health, HELP for the HEAP, Ohio Department of Aging Services information, homestead exemption information. So it's all out there, but most of it is county-driven, and the census will drive what people get. So fill out the census, you will get it in March, and it's going to ask you how many people live in your house as of this April. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, can I make one small comment?
Sure.
No, not yet. I want to think that you can. I'm trying to get somebody to be for the census, to be here for the morning meeting with the mayor from the central that they sent some. So I'm hoping we get somebody
to pick that count.
Just to kind of help people with
they
that.
They cost just as much
also,
as the kids.
Kathleen Busta, who's a licensed social worker, so that's her thing. She's a licensed social worker. I'm going to try to get her a morning meeting with the mayor. But I know Carol brings it to a lot of things too. So that's good. We offer, it's a great community for seniors and, of course, for all of us. So, yeah, come on. Sorry.
Tom DeWicke, 176 Tall Labor. And you know, it'd be nice if you could take your time and put one page together of all that. I didn't know about the Carol pamphlets and the actual county programs. Could we possibly put like one page of that where a senior could tear it out with all the names, phone numbers? It could be journal or OWL. I don't know when the OWL next deadline is.
15th.
15th.
Every month.
Not that it's got to be done this 15th, but maybe if you put everything together, if I was a senior, 8 years old, I'd tear that page out and say, that's what I'm referring to. So that would be helpful, if you'd like to put that together. Thank you.
Anybody else for new and old other business?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
That last big snowstorm we had Thursday morning that we woke up to, I just want to say that the service guys, as usual, did a fabulous job because I got ready for work. We had school. I was driving to work down Alexander, turned right onto Dunham, hit Dunham and Sagamore, and Sagamore Hills had not been plowed at all. And I thought, oh God, I didn't leave early for work. And it was pretty much like that the entire way down to downtown Akron. So they did such a good job that they had me completely fooled, but I was not late to work.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they do a great job. We get a lot of compliments with all the departments. I'm sure everybody has seen there was a lot of media coverage on the rescue of the dog in our village, and even got to CNN and MSNBC. It's just great. You know, you watch that. And what's great about it is having a lot of ponds in the village, knowing that that was a child. If you see that, people go out there and take that energy to rescue a dog. Not that a dog isn't important, but just imagine if that was a person or a child. Dedication there, there was no hesitation to go right in that water. So I think it's just fantastic. But we have that with everybody that services this village. You know, just that dedication and stuff. So that was a great thing, good coverage for the police department, the fire department. As you know, the fire department, they practice their water rescue, Oakwood does, at our lake club. That's what they practice every year, and they're well-versed in Oakwood because of the ponds we have in the area here. They didn't hesitate when they went down there. While they were trying to rescue the dog, according to the thing, he was already putting his uniform on, his outfit on, to go into the water. There was no hesitation. That dog would not have survived if there was a lot of time lapse, and it didn't. So. Anybody else, council, have anything right now before we adjourn the meeting? Just to wrap up, we'll have our special council meeting and our COW meeting of this legislation for passage.
Okay.
Okay, can I have a motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Councilperson Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Spitzman?
Yes.
COW committee of the whole meeting of Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020, adjourned at 8:09. Just to let everybody know, we're going to start our special council meeting. We'll start it, then I'll let You guys ready? Want to take a break or you ready to start?
Let's go. No, let's just go.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the special council meeting of Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. We're going to have one item on this, and that's executive session to go into executive session. Anybody who wants to stay, you're more than welcome. When we come out, there won't be any legislation. We'll just reconvene the meeting and then adjourn it. So, I don't know. Roll call.
Councilperson Lindell.
Present.
Ryan Miller.
Yeah, here.
Allen.
Here.
Kowalski.
Here.
Whedon.
Here.
Spitznagel.
All of council here, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, our law director, John Montello. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to enter into executive session to discuss personnel, recreation director, and assistant recreation director.
Second.
Second by Denny.
Councilperson Lindholm?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, we will reconvene and adjourn. We're going into executive session at 8:10 p.m.